This is a download from the BBC. For more information and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.
BBC LearningEnglish.com presents Talk About English, a series of radio features that support your English language studies. We focus on some of the language and topics that often appear in the news as we join Abigail Wincott for this programme, first broadcast in 2003.
The term fundamentalist has been discussed a lot in recent years, and you'll probably have heard it in connection with terror attacks, and it seems to be linked with Islam rather than other religions. We'll find out why those connections have been made, and whether they're fair, later on. But first, what is a fundamentalist? For the answer, I went to Ben Cohen, a radio producer who's been making religious programmes for the last 10 years.
The word fundamentalism dates back just over 100 years. It was a group of Christians in America that felt that modern ideas and science were edging out what they thought were some of the key beliefs in Christianity, some of the fundamentals. So they produced a series of little booklets called The Fundamentals, saying, we believe this. Things that I would say most Christians believe in, like the resurrection, but also the Bible being absolutely true on anything it says, that it's completely without error. And so what it meant originally, a fundamentalist was somebody that believed what they thought were the important fundamentals of religion. But I think it's moved on from that quite a bit. It's been used a lot more widely. The thing with the word is that people all use it differently. So it can be just used almost as a term of abuse. If someone is very religious but very intolerant of someone that doesn't believe the same thing as them, they can just be called a fundamentalist, and it's just a term of abuse for someone being intolerant.
So what does a Christian fundamentalist believe?
Well, there's no one set of things that defines it perfectly, but I think some of the important things are that they hold to, if you like, traditional ideas over modern ones. So they believe that the Bible is accurate in everything it says. So if the Bible says the earth is 6,000 years old and that Adam and Eve were two real people, if they find science challenging that, they'll hold to the Bible and say science is wrong. And in the same way that if they think that the Bible teaches that man is the head of the household and that he has the final say in what goes on rather than the wife, then they'll hold to that rather than the modern ideas of equality between a man and a woman.
I'd like then to come to the word secular. Is secular or is modern the opposite of fundamentalism?
I don't think that there's one word that's the opposite of fundamentalism, but I think that the modern world, the secular world that looks at other ideas like science and changing opinions, those are the things that make people define themselves as fundamentalists, because they suddenly have something challenging the way they live their lives, the way they think other people should live their lives. So the word is a reaction to more recent ideas like science and non-religious or secular ideas that have come in.
These days we're quite likely to hear the word fundamentalist attached to Islam. How did that happen?
I think what happens is that a lot of the fundamentals that are true for Christian fundamentalists are true for believers of other religions. You have a set of holy traditions, maybe holy books that you believe can't be contradicted, and so you hold to those very passionately. And that's true of people of other religions. So with Islam, an Islamic fundamentalist would think that the Holy Quran can't be contradicted by science, by modern secular thinking, and that their original ideas must still be held to, despite the fact it's a modern world and opinions are changing and fashions are changing.
We've heard how fundamentalism began with a group of American Christians around 100 years ago as a direct challenge to secular, non-religious ways of thinking. But that battle between fundamentalism and secularism is still going on, and as recent news reports have shown, it's going on right at the heart of the Anglican Church.
Few would want to be in the Archbishop of Canterbury's shoes as he attempts to hold together a communion at war with itself over the issue of homosexuality. The crisis was sparked in North America. In August, the governing body of the American Church confirmed the election of Gene Robinson as the Bishop of New Hampshire.
Gene Robinson was recently elected as Anglican Bishop of New Hampshire in the United States. But Gene Robinson is an openly gay man who lives with his male partner. And this has caused problems in the Anglican Church between people who support the inclusion of gay men and women in the church and those who do not. How can there be a row between fundamentalists and secular thinkers within a religious organisation? Producer of religious programmes Ben Cohen explains.
I think that's a very good example of fundamentalism versus modern thinking, secular thinking. Because on the one hand, you have a group of Christians who say, well, the Bible appears to say that homosexual behaviour isn't acceptable and God isn't happy with it. On the other hand, you have a group of people that believe that while the Bible may still have God speaking through it, that when it's talking about homosexuality, actually we need to look at it in a fresh light with our new understanding of what homosexuality is and why someone's a homosexual. So they are bringing in new ideas and supplementing the old ones. And so that's a really good example of a Christian fundamentalist will say, well, you can't bring these new ideas in. The Bible has the last word on it, and it did have the last word on it when it was written 2,000 years ago or 4,000 years ago or whenever that particular bit of the Bible was written.
So fundamentalists are not only fighting against secularism, against a lack of religion, they're also in opposition to religious modernisers, people who believe that religion can be rethought, can adapt to modern life. But in recent years, the word fundamentalist seems to have become strongly associated with Islam and with terrorism, with, for example, the attack on the World Trade Center or the bombing in Bali. Now that the word fundamentalist is so often used to link Islam with violence and intolerance, I asked Ben Cohen whether he would ever use the word himself.
I would be very careful of using it because every person that uses it in a slightly different way, and it can mean slightly different things depending on whether you're a Hindu or a Christian or a Muslim. And remember that you can be a fundamentalist and hold to traditional ideas about the Bible and the Quran and not have extreme or intolerant opinions.
And so why do I feel that the word is linked with terrorism? Is this something to do with things like Al-Qaeda bombings in Bali, what's happened in Turkey recently?
Yes, the word fundamentalist has been used so much in connection with terrorist attacks. That's not just true in Islam either. And you have to remember that not all fundamentalists are people that feel so passionately about it that they will go to the extremes of suicide bombings or whatever. A lot of them just happen to hold very traditional opinions and are very peaceful about it. But yes, it certainly has been connected with the Islamic group Al-Qaeda, for instance. And that's fair enough, because one of the things Al-Qaeda feels strongly about is that the Quran lays out a complete set of laws about how you live your life. And they're very agitated because they feel the West is bringing in a lot of secular fashions and thinking and behaviour that's actually watering down Islam in a number of traditionally Islamic countries. So that is a very fundamentalist idea, the idea that the purity of the teaching is being spoiled by modern ideas. And that's one of the things that are motivating people within our Al-Qaeda to take part in these terrorist activities.
When journalists and programme makers in the Western media talk about religion and talk about fundamentalism, do you think they really always understand what it's about? And do they really understand the people in the rest of the world?
Well, I'm certainly not knocking the BBC World Service at this point, because they do try very hard. But often I do hear the term fundamentalist or religious extremist kicked about in a way that suggests to me they're using it a little bit lazily sometimes. And certainly in the West, in Western Europe, more so than North America, religion is less and less an important part of people's lives. And I think it is very hard to think yourself into the mindset of someone that comes from a completely different culture for whom their religion is vastly more important than somebody that's a journalist, say, in London or Paris or Berlin.
How does that misunderstanding affect the language they might use?
I think that the word fundamentalism, because it's so complicated and used in so many different ways, can sometimes just end up being used as a dirty word. Ooh, they're fundamentalists. And it's a shorthand for saying they take their religion way too seriously. They're extremists. They quite possibly have a bomb in their bag. And that can be unfair on people who have very devout religious beliefs but wouldn't harm a fly.
Today we've heard how the word fundamentalist can be used as a term of abuse about other people, implying that they're intolerant and even violent. But it is still a word which can be used accurately to describe many people around the world who believe that society should operate according to traditional religious teachings. And we've heard how, in opposition to fundamentalists, are modernisers and secular thinkers, people who believe that morality can change, be rethought. Ben Cohen.
Iran is incredibly complicated. However, I think it does come down to this fundamentalism question again, because I think another thing that fundamentalists often feel quite strongly about is that their holy teachings are not just true for them. They feel that it's true for everyone. I think one interesting tension in Iran is that there are disagreements about how much Islam should be running the country through the political process, because at the moment you have a government where Islamic religious leaders and teachers are playing a key role in it, and some people aren't happy with the amount of power they exert and feel that they should have more freedom to vote for who they like and make their own decisions about how they lead their life, and they feel that too much is being imposed upon them by the religious nature of the government at the moment.